quit asking me questions. Yeah, I know you, but we ain't friends. Quit asking me questions. Yeah, we in this section, but you can't get in. Quit asking me questions. Yeah, I got the new Chrysler, blue with the tint. Quit asking me questions. I'm tired of these questions. Asking me questions, that's one of my questions. They all in my business like TMZ. But back in the day, they ain't noticed me. They weren't coming to see me like Otis, but I always thought like the coldest. I had a little chip on my shoulder. Then I got older and older. And I had to flick it off. I feel like a boss, like I'm Ricky Ross. But I got no Maybachs. They do anything for the clout. It's facts when they say that. If I take your girl, don't be in my DM asking for your bay back. We save a lot of things like money, but hoes gonna say that. And homie, that's straight facts. Yeah, I know you, but we ain't friends.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 23 of Politically Miscorrect. We're going to do a couple of changes here. I'm going to get out of this seat in a second and let Ben take over the show. But we're going to start this thing off with the first thing, with thanking the Southtown Poorhouse. You know, every day is a great day at the Southtown Poorhouse. Get half-price apps and taps every day from 4 to 6:30. And Thursdays are even better with Thursday Night Steak Night. They changed it up. Now you can get a 12-ounce New York strip with a side of loaded mashed potatoes for just $13 from 5 to 9. And add a side salad for only $2 more. They also got $3 pounders on Thursdays, so make sure you get in there, take advantage of that. And check out their events page to find out when your favorite band is playing live. The 7th, it looks like they got, which is tomorrow, for Friday, Sushi Roll. And then on Saturday, they got Slam-a-Bama. So, make sure you go check out those bands. I mean, it's something to do in Grand Forks, so why not check it out? Every day is a great day at the Southtown Poorhouse, 2015 Library Circle in Grand Forks, next to the Grand Cities Mall, right across the parking lot from us. Call 701-757-3825. Like I said, every day is a great day at the Southtown Poorhouse. Go check them out. All right, so before I let Ben get in the seat here, we do want to welcome Dane with his iDank.
iDank, man.
Oh, hold on, I got to turn your mic up. I always do that. I always
forget. It's all good. Yeah, iDank, man. iDANQ _ if you want to find me on Instagram and Twitter. And DANQ if you want to find me on Facebook.
Yeah, and at the end of the show here, we're going to be playing one of his jams. So right, make sure to stick around to the end to listen to that. And then obviously to my left we got where's my other left? There we go. There's Ethan.
What's good? What's up?
Oh, hold on.
What's up?
You know, maybe in 10 years I'll figure out these buttons. I don't know. All right, and then who do we got to? The right of me here.
Oh, somebody bumped the camera there too.
Oh, we got Ben and Claire. Say hi.
Hello.
Hey.
All right. Now I'm going to step out and we're going to let Mr. Ben Kern, he's going to host this show today. So here you go.
Well, Paul, thank you very much for doxing me there and giving out my entire name. Welcome to Politically Miscorrect. I think this is episode 22, right? 23. Oh, my gosh. Jordan.
Come on, get it right.
Time is going by too fast. All right, so we've got a nice show lined up. Obviously joined by, oh, gosh, I have to change this. Hold on. This one? Yeah. We are joined by Representative Claire Corey of the North Dakota House of Representatives.
Welcome.
You know, no big deal. We're kind of getting real here. All right. So, start the show off. Caitlyn Jenner is running for California governor's seat against Gavin Newsom. Absolutely terrible person Gavin Newsom is, and I'm still kind of skeptical about Caitlyn Jenner. So, that's just kind of the way that I'm going to start this. If anybody else has anything, feel free.
I'm going to have to start in on this, since I'm the actual gay person here. Not that part trans of people have to do with gay people, but apparently it does.
It's all one thing. It's just the letter community.
So anyways, I think he's excellent. I really do think he is off on some things, but he's definitely a rhino in some cases, but definitely fit to run as governor in California, especially of how screwed up California is. He has the best chance of winning.
Well, yeah.
And all these people don't think of optics. We have to think of optics. He has the best shot of being able to dethrone Newsom.
I could throw out a sack of potatoes covered in grease, and that would probably win an election against Gavin Newsom. That guy has absolutely screwed over the state of California. You know, California, like, what, 30, 40 years ago was like Texas is nowadays, like super red, all these things. And then, you know, Democrats come in. and
it was because of mass immigration, but okay.
Mass immigration as well. Yeah, well, yeah, whatever. It used to be a both Republican Democrat thing, mass immigration. Trump comes along, and finally we start understanding things as far as immigration goes. So I know Caitlyn Jenner just did a recent she did a recent interview with Sean Hannity.
Yep.
So she had a little slip up, accidentally said she was pro illegal immigration, but that's I have my skeptics, honestly. I know a lot of people had skeptics about Donald Trump early on because, you know, he's a celebrity. He, you know, might just be doing this to sell his business campaign or whatever. This might just be another reality show for Caitlyn Jenner, you know. But I don't know. I guess we'll just kind of have to see how things play out. If it's anything like the Masked Singer performance that he did, not looking good for the country and not looking good for California. But honestly, I would, if it was between Gavin Newsom and Caitlyn Jenner and I lived in California, I had to choose. I'm picking Caitlyn Jenner, obviously, because, you know, it's Gavin Newsom.
She's a real conservative. I mean, it's really funny to watch her CPAC interviews and her Turning Point interviews and different things that she's done with other conservative organizations. And it's so funny because during the 2016 campaign, I don't know if anyone remembers this, there's a video of her walking into Trump Tower using the bathroom and, like, walking out. And I think that she did that, you know, just to kind of prove to people that that Trump didn't care. I think Trump was asked about it, and he said, Oh, really? I had no idea, but I don't even care. Anybody can use my bathrooms, it's no problem. They're beautiful bathrooms, covered in marble. It's in the best tower ever. All right, the best tower in New York, okay?
Some may even say the best in the entire world.
The best for any gender.
No matter what it is, okay? The best.
So, I mean, it's really funny to see somebody who is so, basically so, you know, diehard conservative despite everything that they've been through in their life and really still come out on the other end and say, you know what, I am still fiscally conservative. I still believe in the values that make America a great place, which is, you know, the American dream is to be whoever you want to be. And Bruce and or Caitlyn Jenner is exactly the embodiment of that. Whether or not you agree with transgender people or not, I still think it's a really interesting thing to see somebody make something of themselves and do what they want to do, but then still hold the principles of America's a great place to live, which I think we've really lost.
You know, I really think there is some hope when it comes to Caitlyn Jenner because it's so confusing nowadays. I don't understand. Men are women. Women are men. What are the point of even having pronouns at this point?
Right.
But I was kind of surprised a little bit when Caitlyn actually came out and spoke out against transgenders playing in the sport with the opposite sex. So, you know, boys who think they're girls that decide that one day they can just play girl sports.
And he disagreed with that, right? Like, he wasn't for that, right?
He wants boys to play boys, and he wants girls to play girls.
Cool. Yeah, that's what he was asking.
And actually, Gavin Newsom, who is a straight, cisgender, white male, you know, the devil.
When you lose somebody like Kimberly Guilfoyle, I mean, you literally lost Kimberly Guilfoyle as your wife. Like, you literally downgraded. Now she's with Donald Trump Jr. So guess who upgraded from Gavin Newsom to Donald Trump Jr.? It's Kimberly Guilfoyle. So,
Isn't that hilarious?
Isn't that hilarious?
That's gotta hurt.
Yeah, and then he came from San Francisco as well.
Oh my god.
So inform me really quick. You're saying Caitlyn Jenner is running for a political position right now?
Yes, California governor.
I think we already had a couple examples of celebrities running for positions of power and it not going right. Example, Trump.
California.
California
actually, when there's open seats, celebrities run the hell out of California because they like want to be Ronald Reagan, so whether terrible. They're not, they want left wing or right wing. But I do think Caitlyn Jenner has a shot at this, truly.
Especially, like, when you look at that recall that's actually coming up for Gavin Newsom, that has 1.7 million signatures now for that recall?
The best thing about that recall is it's the gay Republican, the gay right-wingers that are leading the charge on it. It is actually, like, the fags, the gays, the trans. They're leading it. And they do not like Newsom at all. The Log Cabin Republicans, outspoken, great groups.
I don't want to get my hopes up. California might be turning around. But, you know,
that's like saying Texas is turning blue, though.
To me, I feel like politics is turning into more of like a celebrity thing where it's just people are doing it for the wrong reasons or whatnot, or just to exploit things for their personal benefit. I'm not a fan of that. You know, I want to get back to people that's really into politics, people that's been trained to do these things and came up with it. Like,
yeah,
I'm not really into stuff like that.
Speaking of which, though, did you guys hear that The Rock might be thinking about running for president?
Oh my God, look at that. I'm not really with that. Yeah, I'm not with that.
No, he just did a recent. Well, he's kind of been like.
He can fight Putin.
That's John Cena.
He can fight Putin.
Tomato, tomato.
He just brings Putin into a ring and hits him with the people's elbow.
Yeah, he dresses a bear. He just comes in. Oh, I'm The Rock. What's up?
Okay, so tell me, what do you guys think about Arnold Schwarzenegger? Is he good at what he does right now?
I don't know. I think from his administration, it's kind of like neither here nor there type of thing. It was in a period where California was still growing and everything was okay. It wasn't great. But I agree with you, you know, like I hate politicians who go on Instagram and just stream live and talk about their day and all this stuff. It's like, you're not those people to me.
You're not qualified.
You are like, no, you're supposed to be getting stuff done. Like, not on Twitch, on Instagram,
streaming. Ilhan Omar and AOC.
Well, Nancy Pelosi too. And even Republicans who do it, it's like, get off Twitter, get off Facebook. That's not where you belong. And you're not representing the people on Twitter. You're representing the people in your district. That's the important part.
Remember when the governor of Minnesota was a wrestler?
Really? Was he Ventura?
It's a joke.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
That was so... That's... Honestly, he's still a better governor than the governor they have now.
It's better than Gavin Newsom, that's for sure. I mean, okay.
Except for Governor Cuomo. You can't... Yeah, I mean... Can you really have somebody who goes on CNN and goes with their brother and there's two talking heads on there jibber jabbering all day long about how COVID deaths were never a problem, and then we find out that he's actually like basically a serial sex offender basically in his own office. I mean, just walking around and, you know, hanging out, trying to kiss people on the lips as they walk by and things like that. It's like, I don't know if that's appropriate. I don't think it's right for anyone to do that, no matter if you're Republican, Democrat. That's disgusting behavior.
I think it was a cover-up.
Yeah, treat people like that is disgusting. I mean, I'm one of those people who I don't think it's appropriate to put your hands on somebody else unless that is like a permission thing. You know what I mean? Like, I would never engage somebody else unless I had to, kind of thing.
I would hope you wouldn't admit that you would. I would hope that you would admit that you would.
No, but I mean, that's the whole thing, is like, some people aren't that way. Some people are confrontational or are like that, and it's nice to see people who aren't that way for a change out in society.
People getting all up in your face, making you take the vaccine and stuff. Right. It's crazy. It's almost like a vaccine. Oh God, there we go. Hey, YouTube, listen. I'm not saying anything about the vaccines. Please don't kick us off, even though you're a terrible communist company. All right. Anyways, moving on. So China had recently launched a rocket into space. Literally could crash basically anywhere in the world at any time. We have no clue. Did you guys see? I think it weighed like, what was it? Something like 11 or 21 like million something pounds, something like that.
I think it weighs as much as a rocket weighs.
I don't know. What does it, you know? Since you want to be so funny over here, you tell me how much a rocket weighs, Mr. Smart Guy.
Why the fuck would I know?
hey, here we go. Swear jar. We gotta keep up the traditions here at Grand Forks Best Source. Just kidding. No, we don't actually listen to this. This is politically miscorrect. What do you expect, us coming on here and, you know, not calling transgenderism for what it is?
Degenerate.
Exactly. So, yeah.
I got this rock.
No, I'm just kidding.
The what?
The rock. Oh, you guys want to see the rocket clip?
Low Earth.
Oh, yeah. We got a rocket clip. Hold on. What am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing. Help me.
Rocket man. All
right. Well, okay. No, you got the screens. You got this, Paul. I trust.
Oh my God.
So it says rocket has dropped into low Earth orbit. To see it floating around. For anybody listening and not watching.
I think it's like 52 stories tall.
Well, yeah, it's like 21 story. Million pounds or something like that. Now it takes a risk of crashing back down. It's literally not clear how the 30 meter tall rocket will fall. Like, we literally have no idea when it's coming down. And yeah, we have no idea where it will land either. So that is absolutely fantastic. Yeah. You can pause it.
That's some beautiful music.
It is. That's like some iMovie, like circa 2009 music right there. That kind of brought back some memories of being in school and having to do those stupid projects where we'd do dumb shit, you know? I remember in eighth grade one time, they actually, we had this project in English class where they had to make us make a music video of a parody, like a parody of a song. And we had to make a music video about it. I'm happy I lost like my old iPad that I made it on, because if I went back and I watched it now, I probably wouldn't be alive another week. It was bad. Anyways.
You guys keep passing this jar around. I haven't seen any of you put money in it yet. Where's the money at? Put the money in.
I'm broke.
Let's go.
I haven't pulled out my Doge yet.
I pulled out my Doge.
I held.
I see.
It's holding to the moon.
To the moon. Oh my God. I don't even want to talk about Doge right now.
Dogecoin.
That's crazy.
For anybody that wants a little bit of fiscal advice, buy Dogecoin right now and probably sell it on like Sunday or Saturday. It's because Elon Musk has basically been carrying this entire thing with his tweets. He tweets one thing about Doge and all of a sudden each share goes up by like 20 cents. And he's actually going to be hosting SNL.
Actually, there are some Doge fan accounts though on Twitter. It's not just Elon, but he's like 55% of the weight.
Exactly. I'd still count that as a carry. I don't know.
So are we talking about crypto right now? Like, that's what we want to do? Because I have a lot of questions, man.
Okay, bet.
There's a lot of coins out there. How do we know which one is legit and what not, you know?
I was actually wondering the same thing. So we got, like, Bitcoin, we got Dogecoin, we got all these different ones. Like,
so,
dude, is it companies' jobs to pick what ones they're going to accept? Or exactly. is it going to be, like, a government-mandated thing? Like, how are we going to know which one is going to be legitimate or not?
So, in terms of legitimacy, Bitcoin was created to like have purchases that were outside of government regulation,
aka the dark web. So if you want some cocaine, go buy some Bitcoin.
But anyways, there's
don't do cocaine. Actually,
don't do cocaine, guys. What
so there's some cryptos that they're basically algorithms, and the computer digs them or solves them, and since it's hard for the computer to do that, that creates scarcity, and that's how crypto is made. There's different types. There's like Bitcoin, there's different altcoins. So to know what's legit, there's usually a website, and there's usually a way you can mine it. So if there's a way you can mine it, it's probably legit, and if there's a worth on major trading websites.
Also, just don't buy anything that nobody's talking about. Like, I think that would be a pretty obvious
thing. Actually, I bought Doge before people started talking about it in like 2019.
Oh, so you were jumping on the cool train before everyone else?
Yeah.
This guy. All right. What else do we want to touch on? We're kind of beating dead horses here with crypto.
Let's talk about music. Let's do that. You know, my name is Dank. You know, I'm an inspiring artist. I've been doing music for a couple years now. I just moved out here probably a couple years ago. I have good friends like Jansonia. I heard he was just here a couple days ago. Why not? Shout out to Jansonia. Shout out to Heavy Lord. Shout out to Prophet McFly. You know, all of those, you know. So, I don't know. It's just coming up as an inspiring artist, it's kind of frustrating sometimes because you have to build a following, you know, invest in yourself and, you know, kind of shoot for the stars, so to speak. But I'm just here to tell everybody, you can't just give up on your dreams like that. You have to keep going, pursue it to the best of your abilities. You know, a lot of things get tough at times, but that's what having the faith is all about, and just keep pushing, you know. So
yeah, and music, like, you know, I have to say, like, I have a lot of respect for you for doing that, because, like, the music industry is so big as far as, like, the pool of, like, young, new rappers exactly. that are maybe starting on SoundCloud or something. There's, like, I couldn't even tell you, but like it almost seems like a lot of people want to be rappers nowadays. So like the competition is definitely there.
It's definitely a full-time job, and you have to put everything into it, and you also have to be good and know like marketing as well.
And right. You got to be consistent. Yeah, you got to consistently come out with new music, right. Otherwise you're just going to fall off. Nobody's going to listen to you anymore because people get tired of the same old music, listening to it if nothing new comes out.
I feel like people are trying to follow a trend nowadays too.
It's good
to be different, you know. Make music that relates to yourself, you know, because that's what's going to last nowadays. People trying to make music that kind of fits into the time frame that we're in right now. And yeah. I feel like, you know, that can kind of hinder somebody's success a little bit, you know, trying to be just like what everybody else is doing. That's why I'm trying to do things different as well. But yeah, you're right, man. Everybody's trying to do music. Mm-hmm. It's not even just rapping. It's just music in general. People see the fame. They see the benefits of it and the stardom of it, and they just want to do it like that. I don't know. I'm just not that type of person anymore. My younger days I was, but I'm more so just, it's more of an outlet to me now, something mm-hmm. that I can deal with my emotions on better, you know, stuff like that.
And I feel like
I'm going to jump in on this one really quick. I don't have a camera, but everybody can hear me. So, you know, I'm clearly the oldest person in the room here.
Are you sure?
You know what? I grew up, you know, with hip hop and rap. And I mean, yeah, the greats like Tupac and Biggie and all them. But, you know, when they were rapping, they were talking about stuff.
Yeah,
and music nowadays, I mean, most of it, it's hard to listen to. It's like listening to sound effects.
Exactly.
It's all so cliche nowadays.
I mean, like, so that's one of the reasons I like Jansonio so much, because he brings me back to, like, the Tribe Called Quest days.
You said that earlier. Yep,
you know, I mean, even, you know, artists like Dead Presidents and, mm-hmm. you know, all them, that like, they... like actually have a message in their music.
Exactly.
So,
I want to get back to that real rap music, or just real music in general.
I just want to add on top of what Paul said really quick before we move on. That's why Wet Ass Pussy was on the top billboards for like, what, 2 weeks?
What's that?
That's because, like, remember
say
Wet Ass
name
Pussy?
Again. It's WAP. Say it.
WAP?
No,
Wet
no.
Wet Ass Pussy?
Oh, yeah.
Wet Ass. You remember that? That was on the. How long was that on the billboards?
A long time.
Stupid amount of time.
But that goes to show derogatory music is what's going to sell nowadays. You know, stuff that's, you know, that's exploiting women or drug use or, you know,
it's all
murder.
Stripper music. Yeah, it's all strip club music now.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I know. I was just seeing a segment probably like a couple months ago. It's like Cardi B, or I don't mean to name drop Cardi B or Megan Stallion. They were saying they wouldn't let their kids listen to this type of music. You know, it's like, why would you make it then? You know, it's weird. It's like, are you just doing it just to sell? You know, that's what I consider a sellout, when you're just doing things just to profit off it rather than from the heart. You know? So it's kind of weird. I don't know.
Yeah. And like, another thing that I kind of wanted to add was like, when it comes to these like female rappers like Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, you know, like basically all the mainstream female rappers nowadays, like when I think of rap music, I think of people trying to act like hard, you know?
Yeah.
Like guns, drugs. Exactly. Like that's what I think of rap music. Exactly. And you got these girls out here that are like, my pussy's so clean. And it's like, that's not what I think of when I think of rap music. And I don't know. There's something about girls just like rapping about how nice their genitalia is, and I'm just like not interested whatsoever.
These women are actually very talented, but they sell their souls to degenerate Hollywood.
And like you know, the flow is good, and sometimes like you know they got some nice stuff.
Like that's a good song though. It kind of hits it, but if you just tune out the lyrics,
it's catchy.
Wait, which song?
It's catchy.
WAP.
Ethan, why would you like that song?
tell us.
I want to hear it, Ethan.
Explain yourself, please. Yeah.
I didn't say I like the lyrics.
Oh, jeez.
Grab a bucket and a mop.
There's nothing wrong being in an environment and just jamming music at a particular time, but I don't know.
I don't get it. I think music is... a lot of times people will say music follows the culture.
Right.
And I honestly would 100% agree with that when you look at like rap music nowadays and just music in general. And like I said, like with music nowadays being so cliche and stuff, it's like you got country artists that are at the top of like the country game debatably country. It's like this new pop country. It's completely terrible. If you listen to anything, like any kind of country that's not bluegrass, you don't know country music.
Right.
And this is coming from someone who doesn't even like country music, but I'll listen to bluegrass. That smacks. Yeah. Maybe it's just a North Dakota thing. Who knows?
Yeah.
Do you feel like music influences people to do bad things and stuff like that? Or just to do things in
general? I think they can. I know people that, like, I knew people in high school that were, like, you know, athletes, like, top of their game, looking to go to college, and they were doing, like, Percocets, and they were like drinking lean and stuff because they were hearing in these songs, you know. I've never tried either, like, any hard drug really, but you know, there was a point in my life where I was like, I kind of wonder what lean is like, you know, like the way that everyone makes it sound, it sounds like a really good time.
Someone in the comments mentioned something about country's turning to rap too, and I agree. Country, I love country, and country is going to shit. I'm sorry, but it's going to shit.
It's a bunch of like 25-year-old white dudes who grew up in California singing about dirt and tractors because they know that that's what country people like.
No,
never worked a hard day. No, I'm talking about I'm talking about pop country.
Oh,
I'm talking about pop country here. The people that have never worked a hard day's work in their life and fly around in their private jets, and all they got to do is put on some jeans and boots and.
I don't know. What do you describe as pop country, number one? But also, I think that country has a lot to do with rap music. Like, if you were to go through my playlist right now, you'd see a lot of country and a lot of rap. Mm-hmm. Because they both have, like, stories and messages that I think can relate. And, like, that's one thing that I think kind of binds, like, younger people listening to music together is that I don't just want to listen to stuff that comes out from the big labels. I want to listen to stuff that comes out from just everyone.
Right.
I have my friends, like friends' music or people that I personally know. I have it downloaded and I listen to it because it's interesting. And it's like if they have good songs and it's actually good, then yeah, I want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and I agree with you 100%. Actually, recently, like the music I've been listening to, I listen to a lot of metalcore. I know I don't look like the type of person who would listen to metalcore, but I do.
Is that screaming stuff? Like, ah.
Yeah. it's like, it's basically metal music, but it's mixed with, like, electronics.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of, it's not like EDM.
Right.
But there is electronic, like, backgrounds.
Okay.
And, like, the, how would you say, like, the melody and the rhythm is kind of kept up by that, mixed in with drums and guitars.
Okay.
And,
sounds cool.
Yeah, it's
give me a song so I can look it up.
give me
a song.
It sucks.
No,
I'm kidding.
That's funny.
Definitely you have never heard. You have probably never heard Emotionless and White Song, have you?
I probably have.
You're over here listening to Wet Ass Pussy too much, aren't you?
No, I listen to country actually.
Taylor Swift.
Yes. I love Taylor Swift.
Haven't heard from her in a while.
I'd go straight for her.
Would you?
Yes.
Like that episode. Like that one episode. Did you see that episode of Family Guy when Chris asked her to prom and then she like showed up and then they acted like they had a good time and then she stopped talking to him and then wrote a song about him? I was like, what? How honored. Much more Taylor Swift can you get than that?
I'd be honored if she wrote a song about me.
I wouldn't. I got too much stuff that I don't want people to know about me. I could never get close to Taylor Swift personally. I don't know how anyone can. I don't know.
All her songs are about that, though. Actually, they are.
But I'm just going off cliche Taylor Swift stuff.
No, you got also comments up there, too.
So oh, sweet.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with Taylor Swift. That's facts.
What two songs that you feel was made for you?
Two songs? So that's a good question.
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
And up.
Oh, wait, Paul, repeat that again.
Oh, I said WAP and up.
Because Cardi B
bangs out of my pickup. I got them Rottweilers in the back.
Wildin.
And that's enough Paul for the show today, guys. We're going to keep it back to this table. Oh, geez. Anyways, I don't know. I don't know. We're beating a dead horse.
You guys want to answer that question, though? What two songs?
Oh, yeah, that's what we were doing. I'm sorry. My train of thought, I kid you not, is like the wheels are made of jello. Wow. I can maybe like keep it going for a little bit, but at some point it's just going to absolutely
derail. My attention span is like that too, man. You got to keep me focused, man. Got to.
I'm exactly like that too. But so, what are your like two favorite songs that felt?
I don't know if you guys heard them. There's a song by Mo Ray right now. It's called Quicksand. Oh my god. Yeah, that's like the story of my life right there. And then if I had to pick another song, it would probably be one of my songs, because I go, you know, talk about my life stories and my past experiences and stuff like that. So, but that song called Quicksand by Mo Ray, I don't know if you ever heard of him before. No? New artist.
I can't say I've heard of him.
New artist, man. He's pretty dope. That song Quicksand, man, that resonates with me. I like it.
God, they're making me have to go through all my Apple Music playlist to actually see if I can get an answer now.
Like, you don't have a go-to song?
I genuinely, like, I want to answer this question. Wow. I don't care how long it takes. Like, this is a good question. Who was that?
For real.
I would go with You Belong to Me by Taylor Swift.
Oh, my
God. Wow, that's what's
up. Stop with the Taylor Swift, dude.
But there's a specific reason, though.
Explain.
I decline the answer.
You got to now.
Like, you, no, you. Yeah, you can't.
You
do that
out there. You gotta
who
say
is this
it.
Guy?
Yeah,
Ethan. No, you got it. You have to now.
Have to.
Oh, shit.
Peer pressure.
Okay. So sometimes I like people that I can't have.
Oh,
that's all of us.
That's something you didn't want to share.
No, but they might be straight or something.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait, so you're really homosexual?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought you were joking. I thought you were joking for some reason. I didn't know. But no, that's cool, man. People deal with that, you know. Like liking someone that don't like them back. That happens.
I may be gay, but at least I'm not a faggot, though.
What's the difference?
Ethan, I know you say that a lot. Can you please explain like what that means? Because a lot of people probably think they're the same thing. I would agree with you.
Without offending anybody.
Wait, you agree with that? How?
No, like I agree with like you that there's a difference between, you know, gay people and the word that I can't say because I'm not a marginalized group. The F word, if you will.
What F word?
Say it.
I feel like this is
say
a touchy
it. You won't.
Subject.
I'm getting uncomfortable.
This is a trap.
Don't do it.
Absolutely. If we could speak on a song that like I found actually kind of weird, I wouldn't say that it like describes anything about my life, but life in general nowadays. It was by 3 Days Grace on their, I believe it's still the most recent album. I haven't checked. It's called Strange Days. If you listen to the music, just knowing that it came out in 2019, and you think of like the way that the world is today with COVID. Goes deep. Actually, my favorite band, Starset, actually just came out with a song about COVID as well. It's called Infected, about like we hate the way that the world has become. And I'm like, me too, because this sucks. And you know, mental health and everything on the rise. And
we should talk about Doug Burgum.
Some of these people, I don't even know their names. You gotta.
He's the governor of North Dakota.
Oh, okay.
He's an absolute. For lack of a better word.
Why do you say that? What's going on with him?
He's over hanging out with like Bill Gates. I know he was involved with the Microsoft deal. He just brought Amazon into Fargo, like, you know,
big corporations
that like the grassroots actual conservative movement hate. It's right. Like that's the only thing, like one of the only things we agree with socialists on is we hate corporations. And you know, if you do deals or if you're getting money or donations from Amazon or Google or, you know, Twitter, Facebook, any of these, you need to leave the Republican Party. Because, like, at some point we all have to come together behind one thing. I think that's something that the left does very well. You know, like, everybody on the left, like, you know, they're all behind Black Lives Matter. They're all pro-choice. They, you know, they're all on the same page when it comes to a lot of things. You don't really see a lot of internal, like, scuffles nowadays with Democrats. You're kind of starting to see it, not as much, but on the right they're, you know,
it's mostly we hate Donald Trump.
Exactly. And that's something that they can all get behind, and they can all get behind, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, right? And they all agree on that. But I think on the right we are kind of a little too divided. You know, we don't really have these combined principles that we all share. I mean, obviously there's a few. But I mean, there are people that are on the right that are pro-choice, and there are people on the right that are like all for mass immigration. And there are the neoconservatives who are pro, like, you know, wars and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's too much division, I think, within the conservative movement. But I think that's actually where Donald Trump did best, is he kind of helped almost unite us in a way. Or we've seen a populist movement like nobody else has ever seen before. So props to him for that. A lot of people say that, like, Trump supporters just kind of listen to what he says. But I kind of think it's the opposite. I think it was he was listening to what we were saying that previous Republicans were not doing anything about. That's just my take.
Are you guys still upset about the election?
No.
No?
I don't really care. Guys, I was still wearing his hat, though, because I really want him to be chair of the Republican Party.
Really?
And then, yeah. And then, no, the optics would say that. And instead of him rerunning, because he will not win a re-election.
He definitely won't win.
Dude, imagine the scenario. He runs for House of Representatives in Florida. He wins. We take back the House. He becomes Speaker of the House. They impeach Biden and Harris. Trump is back in office.
Fantasy
land. By, like, 2023.
Fantasy
I said imagine. Come on, give me a break. I wasn't saying it was going to happen.
That's funny.
Did you actually see he just, President Trump did, ex-President Trump, he did an interview with Candace Owens, like, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago, where he's possibly hinting at another run. So
I don't think he was hinting.
That
was not hinting at all. That's a big joke. You know, everyone like that. I saw somebody on TikTok, too, is like, that is the stupidest thing ever. Why? That's a freaking joke. They are literally laughing about it. You can watch, like, you're watching the tape. They're laughing about it. He's not running again.
Yeah,
she's not running with them. It's not going to happen. Ron DeSantis from Florida. You know, Florida has the second most elderly population behind Maine, and they had less COVID deaths than California, which has the eighth youngest population.
Can you really count Maine with the oldest, though? I mean, there's like five people that live in that state.
Right, but that's crazy. That's crazy. Ron DeSantis and whoever else, a female running mate, could kick. Well, it'll be Kamala Harris. I mean, that's the other thing, too, is how long is this guy going to last? Did you see his speech? I mean, and he bans what? And then instead of focusing on things that matter, he bans what? Newports? Like, that's a priority? Like banning menthol cigarettes right now is a priority for people. Really? So you're going to take away menthol cigarettes for what? For what reason?
Don't
you know what I mean?
On
just
me.
just to be controlling for no
libertarian
reason.
Libertarian moment.
It's just getting to the point where it's like, I think people are just fed up with the control and people want to live their own life, whether they're left or right. I mean, whether they're moderate left or right, you know, it doesn't make a difference. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think most people want to live under a society where the government can tell you what you can and can't smoke.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say it now. I want Nikki Haley to just fuck off. Please, no.
I think it's going to be probably Ron DeSantis and somebody else.
Yeah, Ron DeSantis.
I think he's got a good chance of winning.
Yep.
He's definitely got
Donald
the
Trump
people
the chairman of the Republican Party.
Anyways, we're back to our little segment, Paul.
I know Ben will appreciate this, but one of the things that I'll give Biden that I'm really, really loving right now is that he said anybody that makes less than $400,000 a year will pay absolutely zero taxes.
He had that in one of his clips, and he just says you can see the mental decline. And that's the most sad thing is that you can see him declining, and you can hate Trump. You hating Trump and recognizing that we are putting an old man through torture right now by doing it. It's elder abuse, basically, that's happening. And, you know, I'm not saying that Trump should have been reelected because I don't think that his personality was good enough to warrant reelection, in my opinion. Like, I'm a Trump supporter, but at the same time, I have to think to myself, you know, if Trump would have stayed in the basement and let Joe Biden bumble all over himself.
Sleepy
like he
Joe.
Would have probably gotten a second term, but he couldn't. He just had to put his foot in his mouth every turn.
See,
you know, and it's just so I do blame Trump a little bit for Trump's behavior. Do I think he's been a positive force in uniting the Republicans again? Yeah, because 100%. It was just, it was, I mean, the 2016, I remember that night. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It was unbelievable when he won. And you got to think about it. Before all this crazy COVID stuff, we were really, really successful. Low unemployment.
We had a really good country.
We had a lot of good things going on, right? We were protected against places like China. I mean, if we're not...
I miss Mike Pompeo.
Yeah,
I miss Mike Pompeo.
The best Pompeo ever.
I'm going to see him next week.
Lucky. Where? Wow. Where?
Bismarck.
I want to go with you.
Okay, bet. He's going to be at the Williston Basin Energy Conference.
Oh, yeah, I heard about the S. I want to go with you. I fucking love that man.
So
I need to put money
I know on. A lot of people were talking about, like, Mike Pompeo's recent tweets. And, like, basically, it was around, like, January 20th, like, around the inauguration. People were kind of, like, almost thinking that he was making out tweets that kind of made it sound like he was possibly thinking of a presidential run. I know that was obviously just, you know, rumors flying around. But if you did read his tweets, like, he was talking about all the accomplishments of the Trump administration, almost made it sound like he was possibly thinking about a run. So here's the real question. Mike Pompeo, Governor DeSantis, who are you picking?
No, I want Pompeo. Pompeo needs to be Secretary of State again.
You think so?
Yes.
What, like, okay, just can you, like, expand on that? Like, what about his, like, what about his qualities do you think is, like, best for Secretary of Defense? Just, like, for everybody.
He was America first. He put America first. Mm-hmm. He stood up to China. He just put America first, unlike many of our other Secretary of States, especially Hillary Clinton.
Hmm. Wait, did you just say Clinton or Clinton?
Clinton.
Okay, I thought you said Clinton. I was like, that was a good one. I caught you. Oh, Hillary. You should have ran again in 2020. That would have been an easy race. Nobody liked her. Nobody honestly liked her.
I like Hillary.
Kill her.
I like Hillary.
Okay, we're going back over to our little segment, Paul's creepy dark corner.
Well, I just wanted to take a pause really quick to thank Executive Properties. So if you've been putting off that remodel or something new around your house long enough, let Executive Properties get it done. Hold on, let me switch that. Hey. There we go. Executive Properties, they do all types of commercial and residential work. Kitchens, bathrooms, doors, siding, concrete, cabinets, trim, tile. Well, you get the picture. Executive Properties will take the time to listen to what you want done, and they will do it right. With over 30 years of experience, let Barry, Romo, and the crew take care of you. Always offering senior and referral discounts and willing to work with any budget. For all your general contractor needs, call Executive Properties at 701-330-1273. Or check out their website, www.executiveproperties.org. And make sure to check out their reviews on Facebook and Google. You'll love their work. Executive Properties, your one-stop company that can do it all. Yeah, these guys are great. And Barry Romo, I mean, the guy's been doing this for, like, you know, a billion years. So they definitely know what they're doing. Give them a call. Check them out. Thanks.
You're so all great right, with the plugs, Paul. You're so great
that's,
with
that's
the plugs.
That's enough,
man.
Paul, for the night. Paul, I told you we were done with you. What are you doing trying to hop back on the mics?
Hey, shout out to John really quick. He's asking for my YouTube. Shout out to John. Hey, if you want to search for me, you can just type in I spaced it out, DANQ. Hit me up in my comments. I will write you back. Subscribe to me. I'll subscribe back. That's what's up. I appreciate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sub for subs. That's how all the like the big YouTubers get started on.
Yeah, right? I'm telling you.
It's all sub for subs.
Right.
Okay. Anyways, we got what, like 17 minutes left, something like that.
Okay, I made it to
we have had one person here who has probably said about two sentences the entire show. Miss Claire Corey. Please, can you explain, you're a representative in the House of North Dakota, District 42. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Like, what the role of a state legislature versus, like, maybe the federal government? What, you know, what's it like?
Okay. So, yeah, I was appointed actually in 2019. And the way that the legislature works, I had to run again for my term. And so I ran in 2020 and I was elected in the fall of 2020. And I have a really good opportunity because I'm a student in the legislature. And most of the people that I work with are in the 60s or older, I would say. I think the average age is around there, 50s, 60s, with a lot of them being, you know, a lot older. And so I represent the university district. And so this time around, I introduced some bills that would affect students and students' rights on campuses. And whether the Board of Higher Education agreed with me is another question. But,
hey, if they're disagreeing with you, you're doing a good thing.
Right. And so, well, and the thing is, they're appointed and I'm elected, and so that's the big difference between the two. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, but it was interesting working with, you know, older people and bringing in a younger person's perspective. But with that being said, it wasn't the easiest to run as a young person, and so I think that's the main reason why we don't have young people in the legislature, because you have to take off either a semester of school or you can't work because you have to be pretty pretty hard campaigning and things like that. And so it would be really interesting because I know there's a lot of people that aren't running again for various reasons. Either they're getting old or this session was just crazy. We had record spending budgets. I think the general fund went up 3% and the other funds went up about 21%, but that was a lot of because of federal money that came in.
Mm-hmm.
But and then we also have redistricting coming up, which is going to change a lot of the districts. I think we're going to dissolve some of the districts, and then we're going to add some districts in other parts of the state. And then we had the expulsion of a member this year, and that was the first time in North Dakota history.
Oh, can you kind of go a little bit more on that? I'm interested in that.
Yeah, and so we had a member that was reported for sexual harassment, and so the legislature dissolved into a committee of a whole, and it was basically a hearing of all the women, you know, kind of standing up, saying what they experienced with him, and then we had a bill. There was some bills. Or there were some amendments that would censure him, which would mean that he would just be able to be at home, be virtual. And the body did not adopt that. And so at the end of the day, we actually expelled him as a member. Wow. His seat was
doing
filled.
God's work. The North Dakota legislature right? Doing God's work, that's getting rid of these sick people.
Yeah, exactly.
His seat was filled about a week later. And regardless of why he was expelled, I mean, so there was a bunch of women that made reports, and to say that all of the women's reports were fake is just bogus.
Yeah.
Completely. There's not 10 women that made up, you know, fake claims that he was harassing. And so that's besides the point. I think how the process happened was, you know, that's, he didn't have due process and this and that. And, you know, he might have went through the whole due process and then they would have found out the same result. And so, but that was very interesting to be involved in that. And then the 2021 session, it will also be known as the COVID session. So we had to wear masks for a lot of the session.
Oh, gosh.
And then we finally got rid of that. And then we had actually a bill that would make it so the governor can't require masks. And he actually vetoed that bill.
Yeah, I actually saw that. I believe the Senate overturned it, didn't they? They overturned that veto?
The House and the Senate both have to overturn the veto with 2/3 of the body. And so we did that with that bill. He also vetoed the transgender bill, which would not allow biological males to compete in female sports. He vetoed that, and the Senate was four votes away from overturning it. So that one is vetoed, and there's a lot of North Dakotans that are really upset about that. A lot of people say that the reason that they didn't vote for it was because it's not a problem in the state, which that might be so, but a lot of the bills that we pass in the legislature are for the future. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that's a super good argument.
Exactly.
It's not a solution looking for a problem. There's the radical identity movement will come to North Dakota eventually. Mm-hmm. And it's something that has to be done at some point. You can't just wait until it's too late.
Exactly, and that's literally the same thing that I thought about, like, critical race theory in our schools. I was like, there's no way in hell anybody in North Dakota is going to be teaching this. Right down the road at South Middle School.
Indoctrination's happening here.
Yep. Like, yeah, this stuff is here. Like, a lot of people, like, they're just not aware. They're like, oh, yeah, this is happening in California and New York, and we don't got to worry about those. And
radical identity movement.
Really?
And then we have the sophomore representative from District 27 that's going into South Middle School in Grand Forks, which is 60 or 90 miles away from the district she represents and is indoctrinating her policies and trying to get the schools to talk about the bill she wants passed, and that's
not okay.
We're a citizen legislature in North Dakota, and that's just crazy for her to be going into a whole different city.
Let's just say I'm going to work my butt off to get her out.
I think we all should. Anyways, Paul is clearly missing being the host, and he just wants to keep butting in every 5 minutes. So back to Paul's creepy dark corner.
So, John was asking if you had if you're on YouTube, how to look you up, and I think it was idank_.
Yeah, for YouTube, it's idank. And that's YouTube, and then Instagram and Twitter is IDANQ underscore.
Okay. And the other reason that I wanted to get on here too is because I just noticed the other Ben's shirt. And I just want to say Waco loves you right now. That's a good thing there's no nobody named that. David in here.
Ooh. Yeah, you want to show off your shirt and get off your phone? We are on a podcast here.
Alcohol, tobacco, firearms should be a convenience store, not a government agency.
Oh, wow.
Said all the Davidians.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Okay, I'm going to tell a story time real quick about this. Okay, real quick. So I was in high school, and this is something that, like, when Claire did the free speech bill, it really matters because when I was in high school, I was conservative. And
explain the bill.
Yeah, so this free speech bill basically prevents the campus.
Bill 1503.
I don't know what the number is. So.
1503.
Cool. Basically, the bill. I'm going to let her tell you what the bill. I'm going to tell you my story real quick. But basically, I was always conservative in high school, you know, Republican, whatever. Supported Romney in 2012. You know what I mean? Just was one of those kids. I graduated in 2014, by the way. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I wore these in high school, and I had teachers who would target me. And one of them called me Ben the Big Fat Hen in her class. Ooh.
What?
Yeah. She's like, you're just a little Republican, Ben the Big Fat Hen. And just like, basically, you know, that's a pretty derogatory thing
right.
to say, like,
yeah.
based on politics.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it's kind of crazy, like, how, like, even then, and then she was actually in charge of the curriculum for the district.
Oh,
and
no.
so I mean, these are people who, like, and then she had a piece
how
of art in her classroom.
Her?
It was so stupid. A piece of art in her classroom where every kindergartner had a part in creating this masterpiece, and it hung on the wall, and she would talk about it all the time. It's like, lady, you're mean to the students when they get to your class by the time they get to 10th grade based on their political opinions. Like,
wow.
I had teachers who were Republican who would never put down other students. You know, and I knew who they were because we talk about it. And it was sad. It was sad to see. But it's good that, you know, the free speech bill passed.
Right. How did you respond back to her?
I just didn't say anything. Like, I didn't know what to say. Like, I mean, I don't know. She was fat, too. So like, wow, it takes one to know one, I guess. But, you know, I didn't say anything.
Though.
You know what's so funny, though? A girl about a month later hated her, too, because she's just as mean to everybody. Hated her, too, and she put a stink bomb underneath the little chair leg.
Oh, no.
And so when she sat down, it freaking just sprayed everywhere and smelled like butt during the whole hallway.
Oh, yeah,
they had to evacuate the classroom. She was so mad. But yeah, that's what happens, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you gotta love teenage humor.
I was gonna say, next session, if any of you guys are in the legislature with me, we should try and do something that that deals with the involvement of teachers' unions and North Dakota United and the teachers being forced to join unions, because that's crazy.
It's
that,
game.
Yeah, but the free speech bill was brought by FIRE. It's an organization, and so it basically protected free speech on college campuses. And the North Dakota University system's argument against it was none of this happens. You know, it's same thing with the transgender. Like, this isn't going on. Like, you know, students are completely fine at higher like, they're all protected and this and that. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I was just noticing that you don't wear green to the studio.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, freedom is essential. There is no such thing as freedom in free speech zones in America. There's no such thing ever. And
well, especially if you're basing your principles of your voting on, like, the North Dakota Constitution and both the constitutions, then why wouldn't you vote for it? Why wouldn't you vote for it?
It's like, who cares if admin are responsible? Like, that's their job to be responsible. And who cares if it's high risk? Who cares? You could be protesting Black Lives Matter. You could be, you could just be a right-winger protesting the election. It doesn't matter. There's no free speech zones on college campuses. That's stupid. It's dumb. And one cares if it hurts your feelings.
It's publicly owned land, too. I mean, this is the whole thing. This is not like it's somebody's private house where you're going to go there and say whatever you want. It's like, this is a taxpayer-funded area that any taxpayer, anybody, should be able to go to and say what they want to say.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like Chaz in a way. It's just this
Chaz Chop.
And Chaz Chop, one of those things, the George Floyd Autonomous Zone, you know, all those things.
And one of the other things the bill did was say that you have to be required to say, so if you're in a Catholic club, you have to be able to say that you're Catholic. So you can't have people coming in that are atheists in a Catholic club or, you know, Democrats in a Republican club, you know, you have to be able to say what you are and ask people what they are and, you know, disclose that. Right. That's a big thing, too.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of a little early to say, but I almost feel like we're kind of moving into, like, a post-constitutionalist America in a way. Like, did you see how fast everybody just gave up their liberties as soon as, you know, COVID hit? Mm-hmm. So fast. Like, I thought that if you asked anybody in America what their favorite part of America was, the most cliche, like, answer you'd get 90% of the time is, freedom. Well, freedom.
Freedom.
Freedom, right? Freedom. Where? Where is the freedom?
I would can't also like to point out that hate speech does not exist. There's no such thing as hate speech. Just shut up.
There was people that introduced hate crimes.
Yeah.
And I said, what's a hate crime?
Yeah, what is... Someone please answer that.
Because it's not...
What's a man and what's a woman? That's my question. You don't like...
A hate crime?
What's a hate crime?
To me, I would say hate crime is when you purposely do something wrong to someone or say something wrong to someone, whether it's their ethnicity or their religion.
How do you prove it, though?
I mean, based off their actions. What is that person doing to that other person? Are they subjecting them to some type of form of racism or where they... not allowing them to do something that they would normally do. I don't know. It's just, to me, it's a hate crime is like, okay, you're purposely hindering this person from doing something.
Who's going to enforce it, though? Do you have police? Do you teach them about racism?
Or? I mean, there's, like you were saying, there like the identity thing. I mean, there's pretty much, I know there's ways to go about it where you could teach someone how to properly address someone, so to speak, or just to how to handle a situation better. I don't know. To me, a hate crime is just something like if you purposely hinder someone from doing something or say something to someone just off their race or their religion. Or
yeah, I think I can answer this one because that's kind of the generation I grew up in. I think like exactly what you're saying. A hate crime would be me going out and wanting to beat up Ethan, not having any idea who he is,
exactly.
Except going out and wanting to beat him up because I found out that he was gay.
Exactly.
Like, that is the definition of a hate crime, in my opinion.
Right.
I was going to add on to, like, what you said. Mm-hmm. I think there are sometimes cases where you can maybe prove that there was some hateful intent. Like, right. If you remember the Ahmaud Arbery case from, like, a little over a year ago,
is back in
like
February 2020, when he was running through the neighborhood,
got chased down by these guys with shotguns.
Right.
And we all thought, like, I kind of tried to play, like, in the middle of this. I'm like, I'm going to wait for the evidence to come out. I'm not going to say anything. But, like, the evidence showed, like, quite for a long time that it really wasn't a hate crime. And it was maybe just some people trying to be some sick vigilantes or something and shit hit the fan. But then someone had, they went to court and someone, I believe that was taking the video had actually testified and heard the guy say, you know, the N-word after he died. So I think, like, in cases like that, you could say that hate crimes exist. But the term hate crime is too vague, I think. Because a hate crime, you can't prove, like it's really hard to prove intent.
I'm talking about
sometimes you can prove it.
Just like, the term systematically racist
or systemically racist. I mean, unless you can point to an actual example of systemically racist policy, it is not systematically racist. Mm-hmm. That's not how it works. You can have racist people, which is terrible, but you can still have racist people exist in a system that still works. And that's what bothers me the most, is like the principle of, like, for example, due process, like with Derek Chauvin and the George Floyd trial. You know, that jury made its own conclusion, but it's really important to understand that due process is still important, making sure that everyone hears all sides of the evidence, everything should be considered, it's his right to an appeal, he should have that right, just like everyone should have.
Oh, he's winning that appeal 100%.
I mean, everyone should have the right to an appeal. Yeah, everyone should have the right to real, fair, honestly fair justice as best we can do. You know, and unless somebody has a better way to show me how we can do better, then I don't like this argument that systemically we're bad. Because I believe that people are good. Mm-hmm. Inherently, right. I really do.
I disagree with you on that. I think people are inherently bad, but the system we have is good.
I believe that our systems are supposed to bring out the good in people, and the problem is when we get bogged down in the crap.
No, the whole argument. So the whole argument about this system is if men weren't angels, we wouldn't need government. So it's more towards what that Ben is saying than what you're saying.
Right, but the way that I look at it is philosophy. Like the way that I kind of look at it is
the Federalist Papers.
Okay, the way that I kind of look at it is like you have to teach a kid that stealing is wrong. You have to teach a kid that, you know, calling someone mean names is wrong, right? You don't have to teach them, like, you know, you could teach them to an extent to be nice, but I think it's rather that you have to teach them to not do the wrong. Otherwise, they're just, like, if nobody teaches them, that's why you get, you know.
I think the most important part that everyone needs to look at, I think young people understand it more. I know I do. I feel like I understand it pretty well, is that I just accept people for how they treat me and how they act. You know, if they're going to be nice people, they're going to treat me decently, like this is the first time I've ever met you, and you've been super nice. Like, I would never have a bad word to say about you, and it has nothing to do with anything to do with you other than that you were just nice.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But that's how it should be. That's how we should look at everybody. We should look at people and go objectively judge them based on the content of their character, and I think it's coming to a point now where we're so quick to point fingers, but we're not quick enough to shake hands or to really look at the situation beyond just pointing a finger, which is sad. You know, it's sad to see that because I want to listen to rap music and not, and you know, I want to listen to rap music and not have this overhanging thing where I'm still racist in the back of my mind. I'm not.
Exactly.
I love rap music. Like, I mean, I'm not. Of course not. Like, I love that kind of stuff, you know, and does that make me then culturally appropriating? No. Of course not, because I just am enjoying music. Exactly. As a human being would do. You know, I'm tired of this stuff, and I think everyone else is too. I think we're all getting to a point now where, you know, I just want to listen to music, or I want to enjoy somebody else's culture without having to be demonized for it.
Right.
Exactly, and it's like, we're getting to a point where the political sphere and the cultural sphere is now kind of shifting and focusing to, like, this group mentality rather than the individual. So instead of me, like, worrying about myself, you do you, I do me, we don't do each other, you know? now it's like, you know, oh, you supported Trump, you're like, you're a racist, you're an awful person, you're a Nazi, you know, you don't want millions or hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants pouring over the border? What are you, a terrible person?
To have objective opinions about things does not mean you're a bad person. It just means you have opinions. Yeah. And like, that's why it's so interesting to listen to people like Joe Rogan or like Elon Musk. Like, those people are pretty much, I think, what mainstream America is thinking right now. Like, leave me alone. I do me, you do you. As long as you're not in my business, I don't care. And like, when you see politics as it is right now, like banning Newports, what's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point? There's no point. And I mean, I understand the health effects. I understand. But you're regulating people who are already over the age of 18. You know, I mean, what are we doing here? Over the age of 21. You know, what are we doing here? You know, it's just, are we taking this too far now? Or are we really an open and free society if we have to ban menthol cigarettes? It's a really good question to ask.
I think they're worried about paying for the health care at the end of the day.
So?
Yeah.
You know, I was just going to chime in here because I think, you know, since Prophet's not here to answer this question, I don't really understand the systemic racism thing. You know, I haven't, like, read a book on it or anything in that matter, but
it doesn't exist.
Well, I think the idea behind it would be, like, if you look at two children that are, say, 2 years old, you got, say, a black baby and a white baby, they don't judge each other by the color of their skin.
It's a cultural thing.
But over the course of going through the system that everybody lives in, that's where they start to feel that racism and that kind of thing. I think that's in my my idea is, like, that's the idea behind systemic racism.
The way that I kind of look at systemic racism nowadays is I think it can be described as anything in which the outcome is not as good for black people as it is for white people.
Or
anything.
Let him talk.
I feel like our mentality now, where everyone is speaking on, it's more of a new generational thing where you guys don't see the systematic racism, but someone in the later generation, where someone like Paul or something like that, he probably hasn't experienced it because, you know, it's not really as prevalent in North Dakota. But if you go down to Florida or some of these other states, you will see it. When I feel like when people talk about systematic racism, it's more so like, okay, if me and you get caught with the same crime, my time might be different from your time. My penalty may be different from your time. That's what I think of it as. Not a opportunity thing. Like, if we both walk into this job, you're more qualified because of your skin color. Not that. It's more so like, oh, if we both get in trouble, who's going to get more time? Something like that. You know, that's what I think of it.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. Yeah,
definitely.
And I think there are definitely disparities there, and I think that it's important to recognize that there have been systems in the United States that have historically been. And I totally realize that. We have to also understand, those, that we've made great strides. We have to build on those rather than tear people down because of them. And I agree with you. Sentencing needs to be reformed. Yeah. There needs to be some form of standardization between, if you commit a crime. And I agree that we need to replace those people with people who aren't racist. Who don't see color.
I just hate when people, like, if they don't like a policy or something, whether it's like voter ID laws or something, to just throw it because it's chaotic and it causes disputes, that to just say it's racist. Like, I could just go around saying, oh, Ben, I disagree with you, you're homophobic or something like that. And that would work. That would work in my favor because
I am
homophobe. Yeah, but you get my point, though. It's like I could throw that word around and I'd get my way, because that's just how society works.
I think it works so well with race because America, and really the world in particular, but in this case America, has a very sensitive history when it comes to race.
Right.
A lot of people, I guarantee you, at least 99, like upper 90% of the population are going to look and they're going to be like, slavery? Yeah, that was shitty. Like Jim Crow? Yeah, that was shitty.
Fucked up.
Like,
America
We all agree on these things. What I'm saying is there is nothing, like, when we talk about systemic racism, what we're saying is that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is going to stop a black man from becoming the president of the United States. There is nothing to stop you from becoming a professional basketball player. Maybe you're short, maybe that'll stop you, but it's not your race, right? Like, there's a lot of other cases.
You got to give more examples than like sports.
The Brookings Institute once did a study, and they said no matter your age, your gender, your, you know, anything like that, your skin color, no matter what that is, you got to do three things to have a good life in America. You got to graduate school,
right?
Get a job, don't have kids before you're married.
Right.
No matter like what's going on with you, you do those three things, you have a 98% chance of leaving poverty for good and a 75% chance of ending in the middle class. Not the lower class, the middle class. 75%. So like when you take those into account and you're like, okay, well then like what's going on like societally? So graduate high school. You know, unfortunately, black kids aren't graduating at the same rate as white kids. They're graduating less.
Okay.
And I don't see white people going in to schools with guns and putting them at black kids' heads and saying, hey, drop out of school. You know, nobody's making them do that. That, I think that's a bunch of, like,
You're getting to more of a, I think you're getting to more of a place where, like, culture matters. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, culture. Yes.
The same opportunities you get up here may not be the same opportunities I get in Florida. Culture, like,
exactly.
So, like, area that I was culture. May not be the same area you were raised in. Right. So when it comes to schooling and stuff like that, I can't agree with you on that because it's always different.
Speaking of culture, like what do you see as kind of the, like the new music culture here in like our area, and like how do we get more connected with like young artists who want to do like more things that you're talking about, not rapping about the regular.
Honestly, like, I think it's going to be hard because what's selling now is, you know, the disrespect and the sex, you know, that's what's selling nowadays. So
what's the best way to like engage with like you personally, like if we want to listen to your music, share it, what's the easiest way we can do that?
Honestly, like just if it relates to you, you know, because I'm not one of the people that speak on those type of things. I try to speak on like worldwide things that's going on with myself, you know. That's what draws people to me when I'm being real with myself. I'm never going to speak about killing nobody or selling drugs. That's not me, you know. So I feel like when you get into an artist or someone that you want to listen to, you try to find out something that can relate to you.
And that kind of goes back to our earlier point that I was talking about when it comes to like you know, modern day rap music, and it's all about drugs, yeah, and it's all about guns, yeah, and like, sex, and like how I said, that. Like, it kind of almost compels people to
exactly,
do that thing.
Exactly.
No matter your skin color, right?
Exactly.
So, like, when you're compelling people to do those things, and that's kind of the mainstream thing, like you said, with, like, you know, the rap game, that's all it's
right,
about.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of kids are listening to it, and like, a lot of the kids that are listening to it are usually around, like, 15, 16, mm-hmm. 17. Absolutely. They're very moldable.
Right.
And when they're listening to music that's talking about drugs and guns, how do you expect them to grow up, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
You're right.
So I brought up an artist earlier, Dead Presidents.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard them, you need to check them out, because it's exactly what you're talking about. I mean, their lyrics literally are, you know, talking about how much money you got, all your music sounds the same, I'm sick of that sick-ass rap beat scenario every day on the radio. Like, these guys, I got hip to them from Dave Chappelle, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, I would play it, but we'd probably get copyrighted on it, and then they'd shut us down. But if anybody out, check out Dead Presidents. I mean, music is literally everything you're talking about.
And literally, like, just to get to that point about, like, not saying the same cliche, like, BS, I don't know how well, like, you guys know Kevin, like, Kevin Gates specifically. It just comes to my mind. If you listen to Kevin Gates' music, like, in different songs, he'll reuse the same line word for word in, like, multiple different songs. It's like, okay, now you're kind of beating a dead horse. Like, he's like, he found one thing that rhymes, and then he's like, that's it. That's going to, I mean, it's worked, to be fair. The guy's stupid rich, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's worked good for him, but unfortunately, that's kind of where the culture is, you know, when it comes to music and when it comes to just popular culture in general. Like, it all kind of shifts one way. And after it shifts that one way, it's very hard to shift it back.
Right.
So, personally, I don't see, like, a turnaround in our, like, culture anytime soon, as much as I would love to. Like, a lot of people say that we, like, some, like, is going to take, like, another 9/11 for our country to unite again. Honestly, I can't even trust that would unite us anymore. Honestly, because I think that there are going to be people on, like, you know, there are going to be the people that are going to be celebrating it, and, you know, all that BS, hey, whatever.
Go back to me really quick.
Oh, it's still on you.
Okay. Dane's got to take off. He only had to late 30 here, but we're going to make sure we play one of his songs at the end of the show.
Yeah.
But why don't you say bye to everybody, and are you going to be back here next week?
Definitely, yeah, definitely, man. I just want to say thank you, Paul. I appreciate Prophet McFly again, and all you guys for having me as a guest. I appreciate
it. We appreciate you
learning things on the fly. That's what I want. I'm not really too big on politics, but I love to learn. You know, I'm one of those type of people. And if you want to find me again, find me on Twitter and Instagram, IDANQ_, and then YouTube is IDANQ. Yeah, appreciate it. Grand Forks, best source, you know it.
Yeah, check us out if you're not already listening to us for some reason. Nick.
Love you guys.
All right, see you next week then, buddy.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, cool.
Sweet.
I got this right here. Yeah.
Actually, we're running on like an hour and 13 minutes right now, so... do you guys have anything that you kind of want to touch up on? One last little blurb or anything as we get towards the end here? Nothing? Anything? Cricket? You need to get like a crickets thing on here.
I could do that.
For when the awkward silence ensues.
Yes.
I think that would be great. Anyways, here's a wah, wah, wah because we don't have that. This is what you get instead. that's my feelings towards you not having a crickets. This is how I feel.
Well played.
The show's ratings ever since I came on here. if you're not making fun of yourself, you're not having a happy life. So yeah, is there anything you guys wanted to touch on as far as everything goes? Nothing. All right.
Okay.
we're kind of dying here. All right. So one last thing before we go. A reminder, I know we didn't have the show last week, but 2 weeks ago I had mentioned a GoFundMe that Ethan and I had started for the Grand Forks Police Department. Obviously, like, just think about this to yourselves. Would you honestly have the nuts to be a cop in 2021? Hell no. No, nobody would, right? I think that's something that a lot of people would necessarily agree on that, right? But
I'd do it.
You would do it?
I'd try it.
I think a lot of people would actually disagree with you because they don't have a
badass. Like, I'm not gonna lie, it'd be kind of cool.
A big city cop though. I'm not talking Grand Forks.
I'm thinking Grand Forks.
But
walking the beach.
I want to be an MSP.
City of Minneapolis.
But yeah, with all like these anti-police narratives and the police suck and they're racist and all this BS flying around, we kind of figured, you know, like, why the hell would people want to be cops anymore, you know? It's becoming harder and harder, whether you, like, you guys would want to be cops or whatever. Like, you can agree it's harder and harder now for, like, everyday people to want to be cops now. And what's going to happen is with these narratives is you're going to get the shitty cops that are going to stay because they don't care, and the good cops who care about their reputation and their families and their lives are just going to get the hell out. So now with this anti-police narrative, you're just going to be left with the shitty cops that you hated in the first place.
What's the GoFundMe link?
I don't know. Ethan, can you find it and put it in the chat so everyone?
It'll be in the chat.
Yep.
Right?
We're gonna leave it up for a few more days. So far, we're at $260. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Open, I mean, it's $260 more than I thought. But we figured with all these awful narratives going around and all this anti-police BS being pushed that people aren't gonna want to be cops anymore. And the way that the conservative grassroots movement has kind of worked is we've been too silent for too long. So Ethan and I wanted to start this to show that there are people who are willing to, you know, still have their backs when in a time when anti-police narratives are running rampant throughout our country, you know? So, yeah. So we just want to thank them in any way that we could. We just want to start a GoFundMe. If you got, you know, $5, you know, we're doing it for the community's best people there are, because personally, I haven't had a bad run-in with a Grand Forks cop. I hope not. That's probably my white privilege speaking. But, make sure.
Fake news.
Go check it out. Donate. Spread it around, at least. If you don't have money and, you know, you're broke and whatever and you're Ethan Harsell, just go.
I'm not broke.
Just go spread the link. That's all I ask. I don't think that's much. That's not too much to ask. It's free. So, anyways, screw YouTube. We're going out. This has been Politically Miscorrect. Paul, hit that outro.
All right.
Make sure to check us out every week, Thursday, 7:30 p.m. Some may say it's the best conservative podcast and radio show in the nation, with the exception of Ben Shapiro.
No, he's trash.
And roll music.
This is brought to you by Ninja Music.
Yeah.
Yours truly. All right, dang.
Let's go.
ROI, return on investment.
See the sun through the rain. No pain, no gain. Till they up, no money. And I can't tell you what you want, it's what you need. That energy you put out in this world, you will receive. Man, girls can get annoying, that's just when I leave. Wanna hide the truth from these niggas, make them read. But a nigga gotta eat. That's why I wear my heart on my sleeve. Put my pride to my side when I pray on my knees. Boy, you know I know this. Why the good die young? Some speak my mind and never bite my tongue. And you always wasting time. So you're gonna stay broke. For me, finna get on my grind. Finna set this dough. You know how this whole thing goes. Man, I'm tired of these hoes. Man, I'm trying to hit the road. Do these shows coast to coast. Like,
yeah, man, I just want to hit the road, see different things, man, travel to different cities, different countries, meet different people.
Yeah. Y'all know my name. I go by dang, see the sun through the rain, no pain, no gain, till they all know my name, I dang. Don't forget, man. And I can't tell you about my life because a nigga still on this mission. Had to cut some people off to put me in this position. Can't trust the pillow talk because they be telling your business. And when you in your feelings, you make some crazy decisions. But I get it. This life ain't nothing what they said it would be. Society sees a criminal when looking at me. Attitude like Malcolm X with that MLK dream. Why you claim you come in peace, but you came in with that peace? Who am me? I am Tank, and I act
act before I think. Might be catch me riding high, but I never drive and drink. Since I lost my cousin Wax, shit ain't never been the same. Rest in peace to Dustin, man. I'ma always hold your name.
Yeah, man. He was only 20 years old, you know, so I knew right then when that happened, I just knew that, you know, anything could happen in life. So you just gotta keep pushing. My aunt, my wife, my brother.
I go by things, see the sun, through the rain. No pain, no gain, till they all know my name. I think they gonna know it. Just don't forget it.